we've seen the Jekyll and Hyde dogs this year. So hopefully the good one shows up.
38-20 dogs. They're going to win and cover.
The seat's warm, I would imagine, at 8-4.
Welcome back to another episode of the Southern Football Report, presented by Rivertown Running. The boys are back again for another week of college football talk, and as we do each week, let's just dive right on into the deep end, boys. We'll start with introductions to my left. I like to go left. I don't know why that is. To my left and across from me, I've got Brian Howell.
What's going on, fellas? Good to be back.
And to his left and across from me, I've got Kyle Shaver.
Let's do it again.
By the way, we're also recording on Wednesday night instead of Thursday night because tomorrow's Halloween and we're all going to be trick-or-treating. Unfortunately, we...
Can we do the podcast instead? Let's do it again tomorrow.
We're raiding your neighborhood.
Yeah, that's what I hear. It's going to be a fun time.
Absolutely. I'm absolutely with you there, Kyle. Can we just do the podcast instead? I mean, the kids will have fun.
We're doing it tonight for our wives' sake.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so let's just dive on into it. As we do each week, we start with a little bit of a review before we get to a preview. I don't know how much of college football y'all got to watch last week being Georgia fans. Maybe you took the majority of the weekend off, but there were some pretty good games. We'll start with that Texas at Vanderbilt game, which was close once again, like pretty much everybody predicted. Texas ends up winning that game, but only by 3. Any thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I watched every snap of that one, man. That was a good one.
By the way, we all picked Vanderbilt to cover, all 4 of us.
And they did.
And they did.
Because it was 16 points. What was the spread?
18.5 points.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of points.
I never really felt like they had, as close as it was, I didn't feel like it was.
Even into the fourth quarter, it wasn't even, it was what, 10 points? What Vandy scored was like 50-something seconds to go.
Yeah.
Even before that, with like 5 minutes to go, Pavia throws a pick, and I'm like, Katie, that's it. Game over.
Yeah. But, I mean, it wasn't. It came down to.
Yeah,
there was a questionable punt go-forward option right there with about 3 minutes left, right?
Yeah, I kind of started flipping over because it was getting to the beginning of the Texas A&M LSU game at that time. And I thought, man, it's over. And then I look over there, I'm like, that gum, they got the ball back and it's 3 points.
Yeah.
But I mean, it just shows that Vandy's got some fight, right? But ultimately, the talent just won out.
Yeah. And that's kind of what you should expect each week. I mean, there are going to be exceptions to that where this team plays really well, this team plays poorly, and the less talented team wins. But more often than not, I think it ultimately comes down to who's got the best players, unless there's a ton of turnovers or injuries or some weird, extra, special team scores or, something along those lines.
They ran Diego like a battering ram.
Oh, yeah.
Like 20-something carries.
Didn't he get hurt?
Oh, yeah, several times.
Yeah, like he went out a couple.
Had to come out.
Into the tent a few times.
Yeah, and then he'd come back and just keep on running that dive.
Yeah,
the option read thing they do, and he keeps it a lot.
Yeah, I think he trusts himself a lot.
Yeah,
like he
calls his own number.
High confidence guy.
Well, for good reason. I mean, who else on the team is as talented as he is?
For sure.
Well, like I told you, like Vandy's not going to sneak up on anybody anymore. Right. They kind of sneak up on Bama. People are going to say, "Well, man, it's Vandy." We usually say, "Man, it's Vandy. We can sleepwalk this," but now it's like it's Vandy. We'll win if we don't sleepwalk.
Do you think they're still using the Saban comment as motivation, or is that too far in the past now? The comment where he said the only place that's not difficult to play in the SEC is Vanderbilt, or is that too far in the past?
I think a lot of that stuff for the fans.
Yeah, and I think he meant the fans too.
Yeah,
he didn't. I don't think he meant the football team. I think he meant the environment.
Just that you could. Texas had a huge crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, Vandy has a small alumni base. A lot of them are there in Nashville, right? But a lot of them are not. They don't come back to Nashville for games more this year than ever before. But, even the days of like James Franklin going 9-3, 8-4, Georgia would still have more fans there than Vandy.
Absolutely.
Does it bother you as Georgia fans that Vanderbilt gets the same share of the pie each year when they don't commit to football like Georgia does? And, Georgia brings the fans, Georgia brings the eyeballs. If Vanderbilt was in the, you know, in the ACC, like, do they deserve the SEC payout that they're getting?
I think they've been mandated now.
Yeah, I mean, they've,
they finally, the conference said, hey, look.
And now, it's also fair to point out, too, that now they pull their weight in other sports, like, sure. Like baseball. Yeah. Yeah, but when it comes to football, it's the moneymaker.
Revenue-driving sports, they're a win for everybody for a long time.
So you think they earned their $60 million because
probably,
of that?
Probably.
Could lose at homecoming to them.
I've done it before.
Or you could lose in the middle of the season on the road.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Sankey a couple of years ago basically said, all right, everybody's got to make an investment with their payout.
Yeah.
There was something like that came down.
Well, and you saw Missouri at about the same time started coming out doing some stadium renovations, right? Mm-hmm. Vandy's now doing renovations. You've got teams investing in projects, capital projects, but also NIL, also collectives, also all these things. You know, and I think Vandy's bought into a guy in Clark Lee who's their guy,
for sure,
who may not be as successful somewhere else. He just knows how to hit a chord at Vandy.
Absolutely.
How about that Texas A&M hosting LSU game? Texas A&M with a big win.
That game was wild.
So
that quarterback that came in, number 10, game changer.
Brilliant move, by the way.
You think it was planned?
I think so.
I don't think it was planned. Did y'all see? So there was a shot of Elko talking to Wegman on the sideline right before. What's the quarterback's name?
Freshman. I'm not
Reed,
sure.
Marcel Reed. So right before he goes in, I think Wegman threw on a pick maybe, and he said, you don't see Elko's face, but you see Wegman's face. And he kind of has this dejected look like. And that was, I think, that was when he told him, hey, we're going with 10.
Was it a three-point game?
It was. I don't remember if they went.
But there's
the game.
No way they make that decision in the heat of the battle versus LSU, a top 10 team, without having planned during the week.
Well,
to possibly
I get what
play.
You're saying. I think there may have been packages for him, and it just worked out, and he just kept going.
Yeah.
Or the last few weeks of practice, it was undeniable that
you got to
get,
this
guy in the game.
Yeah.
Well, he's a freshman.
I'm not convinced either that backing up a few weeks. That had Arch Manning had that same impact, that he wouldn't have stayed in the game too.
Oh yeah,
they were just trying to find a spark. Texas A&M found it. Texas didn't, so they went back to the starter, who they you kind of know what you have. Marcel Reed, he was the guy.
Yeah.
And what he said at the end of the game? Well, they just kept not tackling me, so I just kept running.
He's from Nashville too. I noticed.
He's a that guy changed the game. Now, I don't know if that will be the case going forward. Because teams are not prepared for that.
How much do you think it mattered that they didn't prepare for it?
I think a lot. That's
at least a little.
He's just a different kind of guy. Like
elite speed.
He can throw it, right? He can throw the ball, you know, as well as probably anybody there. But, like, you're expecting Wegman, who is a more of a pocket passer, you know.
Some athletic ability. I mean,
but not more along the lines of, like, a Carson Beck, right, who could run if he had to, which I don't really want him to. Right, but then you got Marcel Reed, who you want him to run the ball.
Yeah.
I think this LSU team, Brian Kelly's team so far, he's missing on some big-time guys. I mean, they got good players there, but I don't think they're as elite talent-wise as they have been, say, 10 years ago.
But they had the Heisman Trophy winner last year.
They did have that.
Would you trade their receiving core for Georgia's receiver core? Yes.
Receiving core, probably so.
They got some dudes at receiver.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Brian Kelly. I don't think it matters what talent he's got. I think his ceiling every year, just for whatever reason, is 9-3, 10-2. And, I mean, he had the Heisman Trophy winner.
And Malik, right?
Yeah, and Malik Nabers.
Yeah. I mean, he had an elite, the best quarterback, best player in the country last year. They still lost, what, 3 games?
Yeah.
If you take the Heisman Trophy winner and put him on an equally talented team, just pick one. I mean, LSU's as talented as any other 12 teams in the country, not named maybe Ohio State, Bama, Georgia. And you take the Heisman Trophy winner and put him on, you know, Tennessee's team right now.
Let me rephrase that. They're not playing defense like they used to.
That's true. You know, I really thought their defense was their strong point because they got – the DC from Missouri, who's a, I mean, he's had great defenses there in Missouri.
Barry Odom.
No, I don't remember his name.
But look at how they misused and underutilized Harold Perkins last year. Like they had.
This is a new guy though.
Right.
From last year.
But I'm saying the Brian Kelly thing is just, they couldn't find a spot for him.
Right. And Perkins is basically, I mean, he got hurt, but he's basically all that. He's not even trying to come back.
Oh, well.
He ain't coming back.
I think it's a theme with LSU. Now, all that to say, like, 9-3, 10-2 every year is not the worst case scenario.
No.
But the expectations at LSU are much more than that.
Sure.
Especially if you don't, I think the hot seat gets much hotter, much faster for some of these programs like an LSU, even like a Georgia or an Alabama. The hot seat gets hotter quicker because now there's 12 spots. 11. Let's say there are 11 spots because the 12 spots go into a group of five. If you can't be one of 11.
Well, there's really only 8.
That's true. But I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt that there's some conference championship spots.
Yeah.
But if you can't be one of 11, they ain't gonna wait long. Like, okay, we'll give you a little bit of benefit of the doubt if you can't be one of 4. But if you can't be one of 11,
I think you also, your seat gets hotter. It's kind of a double-edged sword. If you have elite players like a Heisman Trophy winner and you don't capitalize.
Yeah.
Fans start going, what else do you need, bro?
Right.
We want a national championship, but you can't do it with a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback or whatever it is.
Right. Well, and now we're giving you NIL money and we're giving you money to your collective and we're pouring all this in and you're giving us 9-3 and you can't be one of 11.
Look how quick they got rid of Ed and they loved him.
Yeah. Oh,
they don't even
guy. He won a national championship.
He's one of them. Like, he's from there.
Yeah.
Another thing about that game. It was like the coming out party for Mike Elko and just like putting his stamp on the Aggie program. And he came out and kind of, you know,
little dig at Jimbo.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's a real program.
Has he spoken about that?
Mm-mm. Not that I know of.
He said something to the effect
of a fast talking politician.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody would be okay with saying that Mike Elko was probably the reason that Jimbo had his initial success at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And then they immediately saw a drop-off when he went to Duke. He's back at Texas A&M, and in year one has got him on the precipice of an SEC championship game appearance. I mean, that's probably going to come down to week 12 or 13, whatever number it ends up being. You know what I mean? But the last game of the season when they host Texas.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's a playoff game.
For
the championship.
So Texas at Texas A&M on November 30th. Whoever wins that, assuming things go right the next 3 weeks leading up to that, whoever wins that is probably going to the SEC championship game, right?
And that's the first time they've played in how many years?
Oh, yeah.
There's all kind of implications in this game.
They really don't like each other, do they?
No, they hate each other.
Texas's remaining schedule, not A&M, Texas's. They have a home game versus Florida. They're at Arkansas, a home game versus Kentucky, and then at Texas A&M. They have one loss to Georgia 2 weeks ago.
At Arkansas is going to be nasty, too. They hate each other from the old, the Big Eight. Big Eight.
Mm-hmm.
Wild West.
What's Texas A&M got?
Texas A&M's schedule features, and actually I don't want to spoil my upset alert coming up here later, but a road game at South Carolina this weekend,
mm-hmm.
a night game, by the way. Night games at South Carolina.
Crazy.
Right? New Mexico State at Auburn, and then at home versus Texas.
Ooh-wee.
They got the easiest route, I think, of the rest of the contenders in the SEC.
And by the way, if they happen to win the next four, their only loss would have been week one versus Notre Dame, who is potentially a playoff team, despite what Kyle said after losing to Northern Illinois week two.
Still can't put them in there.
I mean, both of those teams are probably going to be 10-1 going into that last game.
Well, I think I also said on that podcast, the only way Notre Dame gets in is if Texas A&M does what they're doing right now.
Well, there you go.
And that's the win that's carried them, right? I mean, The Northern Illinois loss was terrible.
Right. But
they
Texas do have
A&M
a win.
A&M has that win's going to, it's more quality, and they beat Texas.
How much did Notre Dame pat themselves on the back and sleepwalk into that one?
Oh, that was 100% a coaching miscue.
Let down?
Yeah.
100%. Once again, the most talented team playing at home should win that game. And if they don't, it's on coaching. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the coaching. By the way, if Texas A&M navigates the next and makes it to the Texas game with no losses besides that Notre Dame game to start, so they're probably – I guess Texas would have the tiebreaker.
There's so many crazy tiebreakers now.
So it's head-to-head first.
Yeah.
So Texas, if they win that game, would have the tiebreaker. And assuming Texas has gone undefeated the rest of the way besides their Georgia loss, they would have one SEC loss.
But then Texas A&M would probably get in. If Georgia doesn't lose again, does it go to point score or combined opponents record?
It goes to common opponents. Record against common opponents or something. We can look it up.
Well, there you go. Georgia would have the tiebreaker because they've got the win over Texas that Texas A&M wouldn't have.
If it's those three tied, if it's Georgia, Texas, and Texas A&M,
and that's who's tied right now.
It's Georgia and Texas.
Because A&M don't play Alabama.
But yeah, right. But A&M played Georgia. A&M played Texas.
And Georgia.
And Georgia played Texas, so and Georgia had the win there.
And assuming Texas beats Texas A&M. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is – so – this is the scenario I was worried about when we got away from divisions in the SEC. It used to be so clear cut.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could argue it was easier in the East, right, to get there.
Or you could argue that there was a second place team in the East that would beat a first place team from the West or vice versa.
Vice versa.
The
right.
West for a while. Yeah. Yeah. That was the case.
But, you know, but there was times when it was Georgia and Florida or South Carolina or whatever that was second, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just not clear cut anymore. And there's going to be some. There's so much football left, but yeah, there's just going to be some.
Here's what we need. We need a playoff for the SEC championship.
I think that if this is going to be one of those years, if it pans out like you think it should, right? Georgia having one loss, Texas having one loss, potentially Texas A&M having no losses or one loss. It's going to almost, because the SEC has not landed on a schedule for the future, right? They've only gone through 2025. They've not given us 26, 27. You may wind up, this may wind up forcing the SEC's hand on a pod system or some other kind of division type system, or maybe increasing it to 9 conference games, right? Because right now they're only at 8, where other conferences are at 9 games. And 9 games gives you that one more game to decide that tiebreaker, but you know, the SEC's only playing 8. So it's, you don't play everybody. They don't play enough of everybody. So, anyways, it's going to be interesting, but still a lot of football left.
Speaking of teams that are not completely out of it yet, but need some tiebreakers to go their way, how about Bama's defense against Missouri? Now, I know Missouri's got some injury issues on offense, but, I mean, obviously the locker room is, they care enough about winning in Tuscaloosa still because they put the starters back in there to preserve the shutout.
Yeah.
And, I mean, 34-0 against that Missouri team, which, you know, we've said Missouri is overrated several times so far this year on this podcast, but I still count that as a pretty impressive. I mean, a 5-touchdown win.
Yeah. When you have one of the Missouri has one of the better receivers in the country in Luther Burden, and you don't score anything, like you can't even get him to get you in a field goal position.
You could tell the Missouri quarterback was hampered by the ankle.
Yeah,
he wasn't throwing the ball well.
No,
what I watched of the, and then they just put a stranglehold on him. Kind of.
Yeah. And once it got out of hand, they had to throw it, and he wasn't there for that.
By the way, that's not the first time Missouri's offense has laid an egg against a quality opponent. They lost 41-10 to Texas A&M earlier this year.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably that Missouri's done.
Oh yeah. At this point,
I mean they have 2 conference losses, 2 overall losses. Now the remaining schedule's not awful. I mean they've got Oklahoma. At South Carolina, at Mississippi State, Arkansas. So it's theoretically they could finish 10-2.
Yeah.
They're not going to the SEC championship game in that scenario.
2 losses won't get you in the SEC championship.
No.
It might get you in the playoff, but it won't get you in the.
Well, we'll talk about that too, because I have a theory about the 2 lost teams in the playoff coming up here. We talked just a minute about that off the air a few minutes ago. How about Auburn all of the sudden? Running the football in Kentucky, winning that game.
I think they quit.
Should Mark Stoops be worried?
Maybe a little.
He built these expectations, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 3-5.
He's probably wishing he took Texas A&M job.
They're 3-5, 1-5 in the conference.
It's not good. It's not good.
I mean, the Georgia game is a distant memory.
Oh, yeah, that's a steady downhill. And now people are saying that's a blip on Georgia's radar. Like, that happened, and it's gone.
What other game did Kentucky blow? They had some close, narrow losses early, didn't they?
The way they played the run against Georgia, now granted, it was at home, it was at night, everything's still in front of you, so you got a little more juice. Now,
listen to these scores. They lost 31-6 to South Carolina. And then they turned around and almost beat Georgia, and everybody was like, well, that South Carolina game, maybe it was just everything came together at the right time for, you know, the Gamecocks. And then they beat Ohio, not Ohio State, the Bobcats. They beat the Bobcats of Ohio. And then they beat Ole Miss. And so you're like, well, they're at this point, they were 3-2 with a win over Ole Miss, a close loss to Georgia. You're like, okay. Then they lost 48-20 to Florida. And last week, 24-10 to Auburn. They're on a 3-game losing streak. And by the way, they're on the road at Tennessee this weekend. 7:45 p.m. kick on blackout. The SEC Network.
And blackout at game. Tennessee, yeah. And that they hate each other. That's a huge rivalry.
So they're going to be 3-6, right?
More than likely.
More than likely.
With Murray State.
Is it the Racers?
Maybe.
I think so.
At Texas.
Lost.
And then the season finale versus Louisville.
Oh. Probably a loss. Louisville's playing pretty good ball right
now. So they're going to go 4-8 this year.
It could be. Could be time.
I just think he's quit.
What's he been there, 8-10 years now?
He's the longest. I think he's the longest tenured head coach in the SEC.
He went in 2013 was his first year.
I think he is longest tenured SEC coach.
They say about 10 years, man. Get a little.
Well, I'll go ahead and say it. If he'll find himself a head coaching job. No question.
Yeah.
It'll be at another Kentucky. But if he ends up back as the defensive coordinator, we'll take him back in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's a good football coach. I think, you know, they kept, what was the guy's name, the defensive lineman that was so good. Georgia was hot after him, I believe, and that they were able to keep him.
Yeah. He's done a really good job at Kentucky.
He has.
But, man, 4-8 after, I mean, like you said, he's built these expectations.
I mean, he's been ranked the last few years.
He missed on quarterback.
Yeah. I remember after the Georgia game, people were saying, oh, Georgia kept the wrong quarterback. No, they didn't.
He missed on quarterback.
Well, that'll sink your ship quickly in the transfer portal era. Yep. The good news is all it takes is another quarterback.
Yeah. He comes to the AD with a plan saying, hey, I got this guy lined up to play quarterback. I got this, you know.
I think he's earned some equity.
I think unless he just wants to leave, and if he wanted to leave, he'd have left for A&M last year. I think he wants to stay.
Yeah, all right. So let's move on from that into our preview section. And obviously, there are two really big games in college football this weekend, and then some other games that are like, you know, ancillary, could have some impact on championship races and conference and things like that. One real quick, we'll preview North Carolina at Florida State. And the reason I want to bring this up, Florida State's 1-7. They're out of bowl contention. I don't know if you watched the Florida State Miami game. It was almost exactly like the Florida State Clemson game in that the defense played pretty well, tried their best to keep the team in the game, and eventually it just, you know, they just couldn't do enough. And they, you know, Miami scored a couple of late touchdowns, but that one was within a score or two for 2/3 of the game. But here's the thing I want to point out. I don't know if you realize this or not. In his career, Mack Brown, who actually played at Florida State, has never beaten Florida State. Now, Duke had never beaten Florida State either. Neither had Mario Cristobal, for that matter. But Mack Brown's like 0-10. You remember, he was at North Carolina in the 90s.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
North Carolina was actually, you know, yeah, pretty good.
That catapulted him to the Texas job.
To the Texas job, yeah. So he played him back then. And since he's been back in Chapel Hill, he's played him several times, including coming to Tallahassee in 2020 as a top-10 ranked team. Remember, that was the team that had the quarterback that ended Drake
May?
No, prior to Drake May, the one before him. But he was a first or second round pick.
Was it Howell?
My cousin.
Your cousin, yeah.
Yeah, Sam
nephew,
Howell.
My nephew, yeah.
Sam Howell. Actually, funny story, he was committed to Florida State under Willie Taggart. When Taggart left, he left and went to North Carolina.
Huh.
comes to Tallahassee and takes a loss that year. But Mack Brown's never beaten Florida State. We're going to pick this one later. North Carolina is a 2.5-point favorite on the road at Florida State. North Carolina, I think, is 4-4 on the season. All right, let's look at Texas A&M at South Carolina. Now, the reason I want to bring this one up is this one could have implications when it comes to the SEC title race. We just got through talking about Texas A&M and their chase, their race to Atlanta. What do you think about this game? We're picking it later, so don't pick it yet. But anything, I mean.
I think in Columbia at night it's going to be difficult. I mean, a lot of that momentum Texas A&M had last week was because they had 155 million people behind them at that game. I mean, they had the whole stadium was rocking. They won't have that. They'll have just the opposite this week. I think Shane Beamer's, he's a good motivator. He can figure out how to motivate those guys. It's going to be a good game.
They got a really good front seven, man.
Yeah, and I think they'll be prepared for Marcel Reed. He won't shock them.
Texas A&M is only a 2.5-point favorite in this game.
Yeah.
I think it depends on South Carolina's quarterback taking care of the ball. They've been a little inconsistent,
yeah,
based on his performance,
yeah,
throughout the year.
If Texas A&M is really an SEC championship game contender, and if they're really a college football playoff contender, which their resume so far says they are, if they really are, then they go win this game. They might not blow them out. They go win the game.
Yeah.
Right.
If they go to Columbia and lose this game, all of a sudden now they've got the one SEC loss, which ties them with several other teams. Yeah. There's a lot more pressure in College Station because the goal doesn't seem quite as easy to get. And with that game at Texas at the end of the season looming, I don't know if we don't see a little bit, maybe a little bit of cratering of this team. Maybe they regress to the mean of what this year was going to be, yeah, to begin with.
Yeah.
Any chance of a letdown? Big emotional victory in the home.
Oh, for sure. Well, then you got to go right back on the road to a tough place to play. I mean, that's I think it's going to be.
They're on my upset alert.
Texas A&M.
Mine too.
Yeah, they were one of the ones I considered also, just because I know it's difficult to play there.
Would Mark Richt say his guts never churned like it has in that place?
Yeah, it's. I mean, even if you play them in South Carolina at noon, it's rocking. I mean, they've got some great.
They had the best
some
fans.
Great fans,
dude.
Yeah.
They were terrible for so long and still put 80,000 in, yeah, there.
This brings me back to my Vanderbilt question earlier. I mean, South Carolina's had more success than Vanderbilt, but their fans have been there the whole time. Like, the commitment, yeah, in South Carolina is, you know, it warrants the SEC payout. Like, they're watching the games. That's where the money comes from.
In the caboose.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a fun game to watch, too. Like you said, a night game in Columbia. I have a good friend, my buddy Jason Strickland, big South Carolina fan, and his brother played there. And, I mean, he loves everything that to
Gamecock
do.
Gamecock through and through.
Yeah, man, they love it. And so for that reason, I'm probably pulling for them. All right, another game that's on the schedule this weekend, a noon kick. Number 3, Penn State hosting number 4, Ohio State. Now, we're going to pick this one coming up in just a few minutes. Ohio State is favored by 3.5 points. Penn State has been called a pretender. We've called them overrated all season. So far, I mean, if Penn State wins this game, they're probably going to skate into the Big Ten championship game. So, what are your thoughts on this one? It's a noon game, so it doesn't interrupt the Georgia game.
The noon game in the Big Ten is like your premier game, right? Fox has the first pick, big noon on Fox, whatever.
So cold up there, man. I got to play at lunchtime.
can't afford lights.
Yeah.
Michigan couldn't for a long time.
For a long time. But, yeah, I think, you know, Ohio State has struggled offensively the last few weeks. Last week, majorly against Nebraska. I mean, Nebraska had a real shot to beat Ohio State last week. And kind of, I mean, they blew it.
Threw a bad interception.
Bad interception. Yeah. A freshman makes a bad decision. You get what you get with a freshman.
Never knew him.
Never knew that guy.
Yeah.
Go to Nebraska and be the game changer or whatever. Lost Ohio State. But, you know, I do think that they're vulnerable, Ohio State is. But I can't believe in Penn State. I saw something that, what's the quarterback's name at Ohio State? Will Howard. Mm. So he grew up a Penn State fan, wanted to go to Penn State. Penn State never offered him, didn't want him. So he's got this chip on his shoulder. You know, I don't know how far that carries you, but he certainly came out with pretty strong statements earlier this week saying how ready he is for Penn State. You know, so we'll see.
A couple of tough teams, I bet.
Here's a couple of things that I realized about Penn State this week that I didn't know. In our group text, I was telling you about the blue chip ratio on teams that are contenders, and this is not my, like, I didn't come up with the blue chip ratio. I don't know if Bud Elliott invented it, but Bud's like the,
he loves it.
He loves
his stat.
Yeah,
he believes in it.
It's
proven itself.
It's a good measure. Like, there's never been a national champion in the modern era to have a roster with less than 50% blue chip recruits. So you have to have at least half of your roster be at least former 4 and 5 stars to legitimately have a chance to win the national championship. Now, the transfer portal changes that a little bit, but everybody takes transfers, right? So I don't know that you can add or subtract a whole lot because of transfers. But Penn State's was higher than I expected it to be. I mean, Penn State's ratio the last 3 years averages 68% blue chip recruits. And I mean, it's a pretty consistent score. It's 64% in 22, 78% in 23, 62% in 24. And their class in 25, if it holds, is 64%. So, I mean, they're consistently at the mid-60s. And that compares with teams like Florida's at 63%. LSU's at 61%. I mean, so it's a comparable roster based on high school recruiting rankings.
Yeah.
Now, if you compare that to Ohio State's roster, Ohio State has the highest ratio of any team in college football. They're 92% blue chippers.
$20 million.
Well, plus a transfer class.
It's a $20 million NIL class.
And plus transfers they took too. You're right. 95% in 22. 95% in 23. It was like 24 out of 25 or 20 out of 21. I mean, it was a lot. And then 86% in 24. So Ohio State, we know, recruits well, right? They're more talented than Penn State is. But Penn State is not, you know, Vanderbilt.
Right.
The other thing I want to point out, too, and this is an ESPN story that I saw. We'll see if it means anything come game time. But if Penn State wins, I think it'll be because of their tight end, Tyler Warren. He leads all tight ends in the Power Four. He's got 559 yards receiving. I mean, I'm not saying he's Brock Bowers, but that compares to Brock Bowers' numbers.
He's like him a lot.
He's one of 13 players in college football this year with a passing, receiving, and rushing touchdown.
Wow.
He was a three-star athlete in high school, hitting bombs on the baseball field. And the way he got his scholarship offers out of high school was not based on his football tape, because he was a quarterback.
Mm. Wow.
It was based on his basketball tape.
How athletic he was.
He's doing, you know, Shaquille O'Neal-style dunks. He's 6'6", 260.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if he has a big game against Ohio State, leads them to victory, which could happen. I mean, it's a home game for Penn State. They haven't beaten Ohio State in like 8 years.
Yeah. This is a put up or shut up game in the Big Ten for both of them, right? Because Ohio State already has their loss. They're thinking, man, we don't have any wiggle room. And then Penn State's trying to validate themselves nationally, right? Because I think if you ask people across the country, people are going to say Penn State does not belong in the top three.
Yep.
So they're hearing it too. So they want to validate, hey, we are legit, right? And there's just a lot on the line for this game. It's a playoff push game. It's what it is.
When they were struggling with USC, that guy had 14 receptions.
He was their guy.
Yeah, 200 something yards.
Yeah,
like he went off.
He's their Brock Bowers, and that's what he is.
Yeah, they went to him just in the same way.
Yeah.
And Penn State's schedule it shakes out favorably after this. They've got Washington, at Purdue, at Minnesota, Maryland.
Mm. Yeah.
So they're probably headed to a one loss.
But then they'd have to turn around and play Oregon more than likely.
If it would depend on if they beat, yeah.
And if they lost, probably Ohio State would play Oregon again.
Probably, yeah. Depending on how the rest of the season
goes. And they
might
be that team lurking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, with the schedule, the way it lays out, you're not going to leave out a one-loss Penn State.
But if you look at their schedule and the fact that they're undefeated, I mean, it's, you got to give them credit for that. And if they beat Ohio State, then that matters, right? That's a big win.
Oh, yeah.
But up to this point, right now, they're essentially their strength of schedule, their points per game margin, all of the stuff is tied with 18th ranked Pitt. I mean, both teams are undefeated. Both teams have a 19 point per game win margin. This is courtesy of David Hale. They both have two wins over FPI top 40 teams. Now, that'll change if they beat Ohio State.
Right.
But one team's ranked third, one team is ranked 18th.
Yeah.
Does Penn State have a little bit of a quarterback duo?
Drew Aller's their guy.
He's their guy. Okay.
Yeah. But now he
got hurt. He got hurt, and he had to bring somebody in. But I mean, if he's healthy, he's their guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I think he's a good quarterback. Don't get me. I think Drew Aller's a good quarterback.
I'm not saying this is going to happen, but if Penn State were to, like, let's just say they blow Ohio State out. Let's say they beat them by three touchdowns and they go undefeated and they then beat Oregon in the Big Ten championship game. You got to start thinking Penn State could actually win it all.
Oh, yeah.
Because at that point.
Well, they've beaten some teams that have a 95% blue chip ratio, right?
Right.
You've beaten Oregon, who's probably in the mid to high 80s.
Oregon's way up there, too. Yeah.
You know, so you're talking about they would have then, at that point, I think nationally, have solidified themselves as, hey, they can play with the big boys and they beat who they're supposed to beat.
But now, vice versa, if Ohio State beats them by three touchdowns, then we say, well, Penn State
that's
is
who they are. Yeah.
All right, let's move on from that one to the big one, Georgia, Florida this weekend. This is the most talented team based on blue chip ratio that Georgia's got left in the regular season. Florida, it surprised me really, has a 60-plus percent blue chip ratio. And, you know, they've settled on Lagway at quarterback because of Graham Mertz's injury, and they found a few things. And, I mean, if Napier finds a way to beat Georgia in this game, his job is saved.
I would think so.
Yeah. I
interviewed a Florida buddy for text today to get ready for this, and he said that he feels like the team's just ready to let it all hang out, and what he's been reading and whatnot, it's like just, you know, all or nothing.
They're playing loose, right?
Yeah, playing loose. So,
I'd like to see the stat. There's no way to know it unless you just go and spend time digging into it. How many freshman quarterbacks have faced the Kirby Smart defense with 2 weeks to prepare and been successful? Probably very few.
This goes back.
He's gonna see stuff that he hadn't seen ever in his life. He's gonna see stuff that Billy Napier can't prepare him for. You know, there's gonna be things that they're
gonna look like. Arch
Kirby
Manning.
Smart hates Florida.
Kirby Smart was on the field when Spurrier hung 50.
Yeah.
He hates Florida. And he will not pull any punches. I don't care if him and Billy are best buddies or whatever. He hates those jokers.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say about that. You will not see the same, say what you want to about it, you will not see the same Georgia team and the same Georgia game plan versus Florida as you saw versus Kentucky.
No.
He will come out to destroy Florida.
Yeah.
And when Kirby Smart coach teams come out with the mindset that we're going to destroy somebody, they're probably going to destroy somebody.
Yeah.
I think Florida will hang around in this one for a little while. There'll be some big plays. You know, all of a sudden, Lagway's leading a touchdown drive, and it's 17-10.
Yeah.
But then I'm not picking it yet because we're picking it in a little bit. But
yeah, I just know how much. I mean, it cannot stand him. Y'all have heard the pregame speeches. Some of those came out of the Florida locker rooms. You know, that's where they came from.
Yeah.
And,
somebody gets a camera.
We can't say them on here, but I just feel like it's hard to be successful as a freshman quarterback against, I mean, look back, even freshman quarterback packs against Kirby and Nick Saban when they were at Alabama.
I'm trying to think back.
I mean, Johnny Manziel is the guy that you think about,
yeah,
right?
But he was
Johnny Manziel. I mean, you're talking about one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC ever, athletically.
Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, but it's just I just don't think they're ready for it.
Right. Yeah. But do you think that the game plan would be different if Graham Mertz were still the quarterback of the Gators? Like,
I don't think Graham Mertz is the kind of quarterback that beats Kirby.
No.
Game manager. A little bit.
Lagway's athleticism does scare me a little bit.
And he's
bit.
Got the big arm.
Yeah.
So did Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
yeah
very similar quarterbacks. Yeah. I mean, huge arm. If they get out of the pocket, good luck.
Yeah.
Buddy said he did like the backs, though. Said Ed Hein. He said, I like both these guys better. One had five touchdowns.
Sour grapes.
Yes, definitely sour grapes. But one did have five rushing touchdowns.
Freshman.
Yeah.
So
we'll probably see a his point was, if they can't run the ball, they're in trouble.
I'll bet you $100 that running back doesn't have five touchdowns this week.
Yeah. If they do, it's a whole – it's going to be a weird podcast.
I ain't showing up next week.
All right, let's move on from our preview to our overrated, underrated segment. Kyle, who you got overrated?
Overrated. I'm still riding with Penn State. They just, until they show me something, I'm sticking with them. Now, to say that, they've got a chance this week to prove themselves and prove me wrong the last however many weeks I've called them overrated. But they're still my team right now until they've, you know, like you said, their FPI, their profile.
Mm-hmm. It's not impressive.
Their profile matches a team that's ranked 20th, 18th, or whatever. I think Penn State should be around, I don't know, 12, 14.
It's hard to do that, though, when they're undefeated.
Right, yeah.
All right. Brian, who do you have as underrated?
I got Tennessee and Miami.
Under or over?
Overrated.
Overrated, yeah. Okay. I've got Miami as overrated. Yeah, I agree with the Tennessee one, too. I think Tennessee – I guess I'm putting Tennessee and Missouri in the same category right now, and that is you're not what we thought you were going to be. Yeah. You're still a good football team. But, I've got Miami as overrated. As a Florida State fan watching that game, I mean, honestly, Miami should be a little embarrassed that they didn't beat us worse. We're an awful football team. Miami is a pretty good football team with potentially the Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback. And for three quarters of that game, he was really, I mean, statistically, he didn't do much at all. He didn't throw a touchdown pass in the entire game.
He caught a touchdown pass, but didn't throw one.
Yeah, on the Philly special.
Yeah, that was rubbing their face at the end of the game.
Yeah, I don't blame him, though. I'd have done the same thing if I was Florida State. You know, if I'm Mike Norvell and had a chance to do the same, I would have. But, Miami, to me, is going to get exposed in the ACC championship game.
Yeah.
I think Clemson's going to.
But is it? But do they still get in?
Probably.
I would think
probably.
So.
I think their quarterback is good enough to play with anybody in the country. I mean, it was effortless for him.
Oh, yeah.
His receivers just weren't open. Mm-hmm. And so he avoids pressure in the backfield, and he's dancing
so calm
around.
Back there.
I mean, it was just. And then next thing you know, he's completing a 3rd and 20. And it happened multiple times because he's just able to evade pressure and he's just hanging out and he kind of jogs a little bit to his left and you're like, hey, anybody want to get it? And then he just, you know, he hits somebody that finally gets open. I mean, Miami's the supporting cast around him to me did not play well in that game.
So if they had Brock Vandergriff, they'd be 4-4.
If they, I tell you, let's do it this way. It came down to Cam Ward and DJU both. With offers from Miami and Florida State, both of them visited both campuses, and Florida State took DJU because Cam wasn't ready to decide if he was going to the NFL yet or not. And Miami was patient, put together the NIL deal. He chose Miami. Look at the difference. Wow. If you put Cam Ward on Florida State's team, they're probably not undefeated, but they're definitely not 1-7.
No, heck no.
Yeah.
If you put DJU in Miami right now, they're not undefeated.
Right. He's done what a good quarterback does in college football is elevate the rest of the team.
Yeah.
Really in any football, but specifically in college football, a good quarterback elevates everybody else's play.
Yeah. For that reason, I'm not counting them out in the playoff. I don't think they're going to win the national championship. They could win a game or two in the playoff, though, depending on the matchup. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our picks.
We got an underrated.
Oh, underrated. I'm sorry. I actually have question marks next to that because I don't know who to put there.
I struggled with it.
I've got Clemson.
Ooh.
I've got Clemson's 11th. Yeah, I think they're the more consistent Miami.
Yeah.
I think they're going to work Miami in the ACC championship.
They only have Pitt and South Carolina left on their schedule, really, of substance, right? You've got South Carolina, who's a rivalry game late in the year, last game of the year. And you've got Pitt, who's ranked 18th, and we've already talked about them.
They got a game this week, though, that's tricky. Who they got?
I don't know who's this week is, but I just feel like Clemson.
Louisville.
Clemson's
Louisville's playing pretty good ball.
Louisville is that team that is going to be 8, 9, 10 wins. And, yeah, I mean, they could beat you.
Clemson's getting punished, I think, pretty heavily for a loss early to Georgia. And then they put up 3 points.
Where the offense didn't look good.
Where the offense didn't look good. And they've hung around, what, 10 to 15 kind of all year long.
But that defense.
But the defense has played well every single game. Even the Georgia game, they played well.
Yeah.
By the way, that Louisville at Clemson game, 7:30. Mm-hmm. So it's a night game at home.
Man, we got noon, 3:30, and some good night games. It's going to be a good weekend.
Yeah. I think Clemson wins that one. But, you know, don't count Louisville. Also, just real quick, I just noticed this. We got Pitt at SMU Saturday night, too. So undefeated Pitt. One loss SMU. SMU's not out of the ACC race right now. And SMU's favored in this game by 7.5.
Mm-hmm. I think there's only three ranked versus ranked team games this week.
Yeah.
And that's one of them.
Okay. I mean, that might be an interesting game to flip over to at some point during the night, too.
Oh, yeah. So I put Indiana just because they're outside of the top 12 and they're undefeated. And you can't really deny what they've, you know. It's a great story.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I'm pulling for, I think Indiana, I've got a list of two or three lost teams here that could be left out of the playoff at the end of the season or will be like one of the teams that they're picking between. Indiana's on that list.
What they did to Nebraska kind of caught my eye.
Yeah.
They really whipped them.
And then Nebraska comes back against Ohio State and does what they did.
And then they showed up last week with a backup quarterback and played pretty well.
Yeah.
So the coach is probably going to be coach of the year. He's done some pretty miraculous things.
Let's look at the rest of Indiana's schedule real quick. We've done this before.
It's not impressive. They're probably going undefeated. Oh, they got Ohio State.
So Indiana is at Michigan State this weekend. And then Michigan, which before the season started.
You'd have thought.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, Michigan's going to work.
I didn't realize
Indiana.
How bad Michigan was.
Yeah, but they're still like that. They're not.
Offensively, they're bad.
But they're not.
Defense is pretty good.
Cellar dweller. I mean, they're probably a top 30 team.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won a national championship last year.
Yeah.
But they had so many dudes on that team. But
that's a huge fall.
Yeah.
Okay. If Georgia loses three games,
is that because they lost one of the best coaches in the
They also lost 15 starters on that team.
Yeah, they have 15 players. But, like, Georgia lost 15 starters.
Yeah. Well,
but they had not.
Georgia recruits better than Michigan does.
They were 50%, right? They were the lowest of the blue chip ratios to ever win it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
By the way, after Michigan, they're at Ohio State and then at home versus Purdue.
Purdue's awful.
I've got them with two losses. Like, they could lose to Michigan State this weekend. Mm. I mean, Michigan State's not great, but.
Is the quarterback back?
Good question.
Good question. I don't know. Rourke. All right. Let's y'all ready to move to our picks?
Yeah.
All right, so let's look at the standings real quick. By the way, Brian, you're still in first place. Brian Howell, still in first place in our picks, but the gap has been...
I didn't have a good week.
...tightened. Last week, Brian, you went 2-3.
Yeah.
Kyle, you went 3-2.
That's why I don't gamble.
Brian, you're 18-13 on the season. Kyle, you're 16-15. Brian Wynn is 12-13. Remember, he didn't pick 1 week, so he's got fewer games. And I did make up ground on y'all. I'm 10-21.
Yeah.
I went 4-1 last week.
There you go. Left.
Yeah, you know what I did? I picked Miami to cover 21, and they won by 22.
Well, I'm going to give you a vote of confidence this week.
Okay.
If you want me to start.
All right, let's go for it.
FSU's going to get the win outright.
All right, let me write
first
these down.
First time all year I've picked them.
Let me write these
down.
They're
going to get the win.
Let's see. Brian Howell, Kyle Shaver, and Dustin Dowdy. All right, so you're taking FSU.
Yes, sir.
All right, Kyle, who you got?
I said I wasn't picking them again. Give me the Tar Heels.
Same. Once again, it's not that I don't think Florida State can win. It's not that I don't think they can cover the 2.5. It's out of principle at this point. I'm not picking
them again.
All right. Penn State versus Ohio State. Ohio State's a 3.5-point favorite.
I got Penn State winning the game.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Kyle?
I got Ohio State probably by a touchdown.
I'm taking Ohio State as well. Ole Miss, a 7-point favorite at Arkansas. Ole Miss's blue chip ratio surprised me.
Low.
44%.
You know, theirs is $10 million roster.
Yeah, they got a bunch of dudes off of Texas A&M.
I'd like to go through it with you one day and let's look at the defensive line in particular that they bought in for this year.
I will concede that, like, you can have all the 4- and 5-star wide receivers you want, but if you don't have the dudes on the offensive and defensive line,
it don't matter.
It doesn't matter. That's part of Florida State's problem.
Somebody told me that Kirby and them have made a calculated decision to stay away from the receiver position.
NIL?
To not spend the money there. To spend the money elsewhere.
I mean, if you're investing on the offensive and defensive line.
Do what they can do outside. And you can see it on the field.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have a dude like that. But maybe it's the right decision. I don't know.
All right, so who are you taking, Ole Miss or Arkansas?
I got Ole Miss to win the game, but Arkansas is going to cover. I think it's going to be a nail biter.
Arkansas. All right, Kyle?
Give me Arkansas with the points.
Arkansas, I'm taking.
It's a 7-point spread, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm taking Ole Miss. Ole Miss is the favorite. Ole Miss is on the road. They are more talented than Arkansas.
I can see a field goal game. Maybe even an overtime.
Yeah, the 7-point scares me a little bit because I think Ole Miss wins, but is it 24-20?
Yeah.
You know, something like that. All right, Texas A&M, a 2.5-point favorite on the road at South Carolina.
I got A&M winning and covering, but I think, again, field goal 4, 7 points, something. I mean, I think it's going to be a good game.
Okay, Kyle?
I got Texas A&M as well.
It's a clean sweep. I'm taking Texas A&M as well. I'm trying my best to just take favorites. All right, Georgia, 16.5-point favorite.
I got them winning. I think that's too many points.
So you're taking Florida to cover?
Yeah, I think a 13-point victory, something like that.
I got the dogs. I got the dogs by 3 scores. Maybe 17.
Ooh.
It might be 21.
I hope so.
I just don't know that Lagway's prepared to face Georgia's defense.
Go ahead.
Just worried about turnovers.
Yeah, certainly. But I think that Florida's just as susceptible to them as Georgia is.
Yeah.
If the Georgia defense to play that Texas shows up, I think it's a no-brainer. They blow them out of the water.
Yeah.
But we've seen the Jekyll and Hyde dogs this year. Mm-hmm. So hopefully the good one shows up.
Yep.
38-20 dogs. They're going to win and cover.
Sounds good.
Upset alert. I've got Texas A&M on upset alert, even though I just picked them in this game versus South Carolina. Don't go into that stadium, that atmosphere, coming off a big win like you just got, and don't play your best. So I've got Texas A&M on upset alert. I've also got Ohio State on upset alert. They're favored versus Penn State, so it would be an upset. But
yeah, I'd agree with you on A&M. I mean, that's the one that would probably be that or the Arkansas Ole Miss.
Yeah, that's
upset.
What I've got. I've got Ole Miss on upset alert. Got Georgia next week at home. You know, Jackson Dart said a few weeks ago, "What do you got to do? You got to win out, right?" And they didn't win out.
Mm.
So they're looking ahead to a big game. That's a statement game next week. Arkansas, they got to go to Arkansas. I've picked Arkansas a couple times to upset some folks. I'm a big Sam Pittman guy.
I love me some Sam Pittman.
Good dude.
If Lane Kiffin finishes 8-4 this year with a $10 million roster, is he in trouble at Ole Miss? Or is he already decided he's not staying anyway?
The seat's warm, I would imagine, at 8-4.
Yeah, well, you got folks pouring money in like they poured money in this year.
I wonder if where he would go, though. At this point, the shine's a little bit off lane, in my opinion. Like,
I was really surprised at his recruiting numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, thought he would have recruited better than that.
It's not the same place that some of the other places in the league are.
Ole Miss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you've been over there, it's a little bit between Vandy and maybe the bigger of the rest of us. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't that huge.
Yeah.
Deal that everybody, like the Bamas and the Georgias, have.
Are you talking about the stadium?
The facilities and it's a small school, smaller school.
Right.
It's just got the fan support, though.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, it's the talk was, you know, Lane's just waiting on a call from Florida. Mm-hmm. But Billy Napier really he's kind of got up off the mat a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm not so sure that you're taking Lane Kiffin right now.
Over Billy Napier.
Billy Napier. Yeah. It's almost like more of the same.
I'll be calling the Indiana guy.
Yeah.
Make him tell you no.
Yeah.
He's a cocky joker.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our top 12 presented by Tallahassee Orthopedic Clinic. Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Go ahead.
All right, Kyle, yours is typically what we think the playoff committee would do right now. So what
and I've got a question before, and we can get into this in a couple of weeks after the playoff rankings come out. How's the committee going to rank like 1 through 4? When we know that 1 through 4, like are they going to do like we do and put a SEC, ACC? Are they going to do that? Like, and they're basically saying this is who we think our SEC champion is going to be or our ACC champion is going to be?
I think so.
Are they going to put, I don't know, 2 SEC teams and a Big Ten team and a ACC team?
I think they'll follow the format of the playoff. I don't think they'll do power rankings.
So conference champions take the first four spots?
Yeah.
Period. Okay. That's what I thought.
All right. So you got number 12, Boise State. They've been hanging around for a while. Iowa State, Big 12 runner up. Tennessee, I think they got a little bit left in the tank. Penn State, Big 10 at large at number 9. Miami, ACC runner up at 8. Texas A&M, SEC at large at 7. Texas, number 6. SEC runner up. Ohio State, Big 10 runner up. BYU, number 4. Big 12 champ. Clemson, number 3. ACC champ. Oregon, number 2, Big Ten champ, and number 1, UGA, SEC champ.
All right. Dustin, go ahead.
All right. So, Kyle, our lists are similar once again. I've got Boise State in that 12 slot. And like you said a few weeks ago, they're guaranteed a spot in the playoff, but not necessarily 12.
Yeah.
I guess it's possible that they could get a
– they could be 8, 10, 12.
11, I mean, whatever, yeah. But I've got them at 12 right now because let's just be honest. They're going to be – the least qualified of any of the teams in the 12.
Yeah.
They did almost beat Oregon.
They did. And
probably should have.
And that's their only loss.
Yeah.
And that's probably why if they went out and some of these other teams are questionable, they could jump into that, say,
where are they ranked right now? 15?
Something like that, yeah. All right, I've got them at 12. I've got the winner of Bama LSU at 11. Mm-hmm. Now, if LSU loses, they're out.
Yeah.
That's their third loss.
And Bama.
If Bama loses, they're out. That game's next week. I've got the winner of Bama LSU at 11. At 10, I've got Tennessee. At 9, I've got Penn State. At 8, I've got Notre Dame. Notre Dame's going to finish the season with one loss, most likely. And that one loss was a bad one, but they're Notre Dame. They're 11-1. I think they're going to get in. And if you give me an 8 versus 9, Notre Dame versus Penn State, That's a winner when it comes to a TV network. And you better believe they're looking at that. At number 7, I've got the ACC runner-up, Miami. In this scenario, 7 versus 10 would be Miami versus Tennessee. I think that'd be a good game. I think Miami can win that game with Cam Ward. At number 6, I've got Ohio State, Big 10 runner-up, which would mean my Big 10 champ would have beat them in the Big Ten championship game in a rematch, which doesn't happen often. At number 5, I've got Texas as the SEC runner-up for BYU. I don't know about the BYU-Iowa State thing. Honestly, I don't think it really matters. Like, one of those two teams is going to get in and probably lose in round 1. At number 3, I've got Clemson. At number 2, Oregon. 1, Georgia.
Okay. Your list is a lot like mine. I got Boise at 12, Iowa State at 11, Miami at 10, one loss Miami. That'd be the second ACC team in. Mm-hmm. I got Indiana in at 8.
Mm.
All right. Got Texas at 7, Texas A&M at 6, Notre Dame at 5, Penn State at 4, Penn State at 5, Iowa State at 4, Clemson at 3, UGA at 2, and Oregon at 1.
All right, that's been another episode of the Southern Football Report presented by Rivertown Running. You can download the Southern Football Report on your favorite podcast app. You can also catch it on Saturday mornings on the Flint Media family of radio stations. Thank you so very much for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Rivertown Running is now open in downtown Bainbridge, Southwest Georgia's newest running and athletic shoe store, with brands you know, like Brooks, Features, Mizuno, New Balance, and more. And Rivertown Running is a local Lululemon retailer. That's right, don't go out of town, shop local for your favorites. Rivertown Running is also your local pickleball headquarters.
So whatever you need, they can get you moving. Rivertown Running, 214 East Water Street, Suite 3 in downtown Bainbridge. Now open.